Hi, friends. Welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I am your host, Misty Phillip. For those of you who don't know me, I am the author of The Struggle is Real, But So is God Bible Study, and the host of this podcast, By His Grace, empowering you to live by His grace through the struggles of life. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for joining us. This podcast is now being listened to all across the world. And I just want to take a moment before we get into today's episode to thank you so much for listening, that it really means the world to me. And I would appreciate you taking time to subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes to help other people find the podcast. Thank you so much. Welcome to another episode of By His Grace. Today, I am with my friend, Shelley Singh. Shelley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So, Shelley, tell my guests a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, my name is Shelley Singh. I grew up in Canada, and I was raised in the Sikh religion. It is a North Indian religion. It's about 500 years old, and it combines elements and influences from Hinduism and the Sufi branch of Islam. However, if you speak to a Sikh in general, they will always tell you how unique we are and how distinct the religion and culture is. Like most other Eastern religions, it's a culture where the culture and religion are really closely intertwined. And so the concept of identity is really formed in the collectivist type of culture. And so I'm just someone who happened to collide with the grace of Jesus, and my life was transformed.
Absolutely. You know, once we come in contact with Jesus, we are radically transformed. But you mentioned something, a collective culture. What does that mean? Because I'm not familiar with that term.
Sure. So in North America, our culture and our values are very individualistic. And so we're very independent. We are driven people, but we love our personal space. In collectivist cultures, the concept is based on community. And so identity is based on community, and therefore shame and honor play a huge role.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is finding grace in the shame and honor culture. So what would you tell me about your journey there?
Sure. So in my case, the first person that came to faith in my family was my mother. And so being a female from a shame and honor culture, that was a big step of faith for her. She had someone witness to her in Canada, and she instantly believed, and she began witnessing to me and my siblings. It wasn't a very clear-cut process for me. I had people in university start giving me books about Jesus, and so I read a book about Jesus, and that triggered my first dream. And so it was a confirmation of what she was trying to communicate to me was, in fact, true. And so I was a very liberal person. I believed in all religions. And so the concept of God just being one and being one way was very surprising and very challenging for me. But I was willing to go to church and try to understand more about Jesus. So what happened with me was I didn't really have anyone to disciple me. And so because of that, I didn't have a good foundation of the gospel. I understood that God was real, and I felt challenged by it, but I did not know how to apply any aspect of Christianity to practical life, and therefore I made a lot of mistakes on the way. And so that's kind of why I want to talk to people about the shame and honor culture. I just want to encourage people to know that the gospel that they carry carries power, and having the Holy Spirit and having the Word of God is enough to reach out to people who look differently, who may be a coworker, a neighbor, or someone they just meet along their journey. People are empty and they are hungry for the truth. And so a lot of people in the shame and honor cultures, they really look like they're doing well. But in my story, I grew up with that facade of a perfect life on the outside, but I was struggling with depression, anxiety, suicidal tendencies in university. And so all of that was tearing me apart on the inside because I didn't have a foundation of identity.
So tell me about the dream that you had.
Sure. So I had a series of dreams. And so the first one was, I had a Catholic friend and he gave me a book about a Muslim woman who came to Jesus, and it was a testimony of her story. And so it talked about how she was wealthy and she had chosen Jesus, and it was based in the country of Pakistan. And so it was very easy for me to relate to this woman because, one, she was a woman and she was going against this culture and this religion to follow a totally different path. And so I read the book and I had the first dream, and all I remember was that I walked away knowing that what was real was in the book, but it was also what my mother was trying to convey to me was real. And so I had no doubt after that, but I still was stuck for a couple of years in a mode of, I don't know what to do with this truth.
Yeah. So trying to process that and figure out what following Jesus looks like. So for those who are listening who don't understand the shame and honor culture, can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. So because our family values matter so much in the shame and honor culture, if you make one mistake, it brings shame to the entire family. And so, for example, if a child doesn't achieve a certain level of education, that brings shame. If they marry the wrong person, that can bring shame. And so people tend to blame the parents. And so even parents feel shame. And so there's a high level of perfectionism, and it's unhealthy striving to achieve goals that are usually unrealistic.
So once you meet Jesus and you learn that Jesus is the only perfect person, I bet that probably rocks your world because you've grown up in a culture of, you have to, and I think that's probably why we have some of my boys' best friends are Indian, and, they are very aware that within their culture, there's a lot of people who commit suicide because they can't live up to that standard of perfection. But once you know that Jesus is the only perfect one, well, what did that do to you?
Well, that took me a long time to really get to that revelation. Maybe it was almost maybe 12 years. It took me really long to understand his character. So I only understood that he was the truth in the beginning. And I was still living a very secular university type of lifestyle. And I didn't have Christian friends. I didn't have Christian influences. I didn't even know where to look. It was just very overwhelming in the beginning because I grew up in a very conservative Sikh home, which means I didn't even cut my hair until I was 18. You know, I wasn't allowed to date, which, I mean, I did, but nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of things that were so new to me. And I moved to the US in 2004 for graduate school. And so I didn't even know where to go to church. And so I looked for familiar churches and people that spoke the language that I knew. And so I didn't even know how to navigate denominations at this point. So it was so interesting that I had, you know, being someone with going into a graduate degree and living in North America the majority of my life, I'd have to say that don't assume education means revelation.
That's good.
And so one mistake I made was I married an unbeliever in 2008, and I had received a couple of warnings not to go ahead with this marriage, and it broke down in a couple of months, and that brought more shame to me. And that was probably the first time that I brought a lot of shame to my parents. I grew up being one of the children that really aimed to please my parents. And so that was a big turning point for me, because in my faith, I did not know how to resolve culture and Christianity and godly values yet. And I didn't have the mentorship to understand.
So what got you there? So what got you through that process? How were you able to understand? And then I would ask too, like, what part does forgiveness play in that?
That's an excellent question. So what happened was I ended up leaving my marriage. And then I went through a process of great intimacy with the Lord. Because before that, I just knew God was real and didn't know how to process that revelation. But in that moment and those years of brokenness, I had to really come face to face with what were my values and how to really learn to communicate with God on my own level. It had to be my own relationship, and it had to not be derived from my mother's influence. And so that was kind of a very unique process where I started growing in the Word, crying out in my brokenness, sharing with God about my struggles of my own desires and what my life would have looked like, and coming out of perfectionism, learning to surrender to God, dreams and desires, and being shaped into somebody who was able to forgive, because there's no concept of forgiveness in religion.
Yeah. And Jesus comes and offers forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And even while we are sinning, dies for us. So that must have been a difficult thing for you to understand, especially not having someone to disciple you. But what you talked about getting basically to the end of yourself and having to cry out to God, that's what we all have to do. I teach my children apologetics, but I also teach them, you can't believe, like, your faith, my faith will not get you to heaven. You have to believe, you have to have that personal relationship, because it's your faith that will stand. One day you will stand before the Lord, because every knee will bow. And how will you respond to him? So, So let me ask you this. How would you disciple someone who's in an Eastern religion? And how would you, first of all, how would you share the gospel with them? And then how would you disciple them in the process?
I think that's an excellent question. And one that I hope everyone wants to ask. I would, first of all, begin a relationship with them. Be open and honest with them. They are going to have questions about the smallest things. So patience is going to be really important. Answer questions and teach them the basics of the gospel before throwing big concepts, because they already have stereotypes about Christianity. For example, when I would look at the cross as a Sikh, I would look at it and think, well, Christians seem to worship weakness. you know, and Sikhs really value victory and defending people and being strong and valiant. And so I didn't understand the redemptive side. I didn't understand the power of forgiveness. I didn't understand the power of grace and how grace transforms our life for the better and how abundant life can really come into play when we allow God to heal our identity. And so I would say that that basis of relationship combined with consistency is really important, and just showing them the grace of Jesus, because grace is what sets Christianity apart. It doesn't exist in any religion. Sikhism mentions the word grace, but it actually does not have the same connotation. It really refers more to a holy pity kind of attitude of God just feeling sorry for us, and he'll just kind of, you know, sprinkle some mercy on us occasionally, but that distance exists. There's no real communication or dialogue. But now through Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Word of God, where we can connect to him through so many avenues, and we can receive from him in a creative way every day.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good. I met a Sikh woman and shared the gospel with her while she was doing my eyebrows. And she did have a lot of questions. And I just sat there with her for a long time and just answered all of her questions. And she was very curious. She had faith, but she didn't understand the gospel at all. And so I just, as plainly as I could, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I would just, like, inside my head, I'm just praying, Lord, you are within me. Give me the words. And the Holy Spirit will do that. So I just want to say that. Don't be afraid to witness to someone who may not look like you, because if the Holy Spirit is within you, the Holy Spirit will give you words. Don't you agree?
I agree. The Lord has used the most interesting people to communicate truth to me, people I didn't expect, people through social media, just to fill in gaps in my theology that were never answered. Or if there were moments when I went to certain churches where, you know, in the Indian and Pakistani communities, there's still a lot of legalism. And so because of those similar spiritual bondages that exist in those communities, they overlapped with Sikhism. It was confusing for me to truly get free in the initial stages of my faith. And so what really helped me was pressing in, spending a lot of time in the Word. Worship helped me a lot as well, to get the focus off of my situation and get me to a place where at least my thoughts were more peaceful and I was more receptive to God. And eventually he helped me heal from the ordeal of divorce and the label of divorce and become a person who is available to minister to people of all backgrounds.
I love that. One question that I ask everyone is, do you have a life verse? Like, is there a particular verse in the Bible that just really jumps out at you and you've just clung to that? What would that be?
Well, that's an excellent question. Yes. I definitely have a life verse. It's Psalm 27:14, and it says, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so in my most difficult moments, I had a lot of movement go on because of the divorce, and there was a lot of change in my life that I didn't expect. And so I would say this verse out loud because it's a reminder that we will see the goodness while we're still alive. It's not a faraway dream. It's not something that may happen. It's truth. And it's available to us, whether we see it in the beauty of nature every day, the beauty of the memories that are being formed with our family and members in the body of Christ, or if it's just God communicating to us through that day.
Love it. Love it. So where can people find you, find more about you if they have questions about, you know, ministering to someone in an Eastern religion? How would they reach out to you?
That's a great question. I have a blog. It's, I'm slowly trying to build it up. It is shelleysing.com, and Shelley's S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. And so that's one way to get a hold of me and just read a little bit about my background. And my Twitter page is pretty active. That's Shelley Singh AUD at Twitter. And I'm also working on publishing a small part of my testimony for an apologetics book by Harvest House Publishers that will be released in early next year. And Excellent. So that will introduce people to the religion of Sikhism and how they can minister better.
Excellent. Make sure you keep me posted about that, because I do have some Sikh neighbors that I at some point would like to approach. So I'd love to know more about that. So Shelley, thank you so much for being my guest today. And I hope you all have enjoyed listening to Shelley share her heart and share and enlighten us about finding grace in the shame and honor culture. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Misty, for having me. This was a privilege and a pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.